you very much. Rom Ribeiro is a church planting machine. They're planting their sixth church in Brazil. They've been there many years, of course, as that is Rom's homeland. His wife, Rachel, was raised there as a missionary child, missionary kid. And their daughters are grown, and they're both missionaries. Matter of fact, their daughters are fourth-generation missionaries in that family. The great-grandparents were missionaries, the grandparents, the parents, and now their daughters are serving as missionaries in Brazil. So, Brother Rom, we've been honored to support you folks for 29 years, and we hope that we can support you another 29 years because we love you guys. We share your heartbeat, and the rest of the time is yours. So come on up here. You were supposed to sit with me up here and keep me company. So, love offering just went down.
I'm sorry.
Good to have you, my brother.
Thank you, Pastor. Well, I think I'm going to be discouraged now. Just because he said the love offering went down. But the truth of the matter is that I need to pay you to be able to be here this morning. I'm the one to thank you for allowing me to be one of your missionaries. I am the one that should be grateful. Thank you so very much. Thank you for the wonderful place, Pastor, you put us at this week. The Arma family?
Yeah, Arma Nolan.
Arma Nolan. Thank you so much. What a beautiful place. And of course, for us Brazilians, being from a tropical country, I know you take this for granted, but we were singing How Great Thou Art, and I was filming the words, and then the snow falling down out of the window, and I sent the picture to our family members in Brazil. And I said, look, we are singing How Great Thou Art, and the snow is coming down from heaven. This is only possible because God is all-powerful. And we are from a tropical country. We're not used to snow, to this cold weather. So for us to be here in Alaska is something very special. And more special yet to be with you, with your church. I remember when I came here for the first time, I had just graduated from college. Rachel, she could not come because she was working for the records office at Bob Jones. So she was not allowed to come. And then we had the newborn baby, our oldest, Rochelle. So I came by myself. And of course, your parents were here back then. And I was so well treated, in spite of being so young and just a college student. I was treated like a king. And then your church embraced our ministry. Actually, we had no ministry. Just a proposal, just a project, just a dream of going back to Brazil and establishing Bible-believing churches. But for some reason, Pastor Hamilton, the father, believed in us, and he led the church to take us on for support. So it has been 29 years. I think someone, Joe, you said that I didn't age at all. You're such a big liar. But thank you for using your lives for a good purpose, to make me feel good. But inside my body, I know I grew old. We have been working so much for the last 29 years. And I'm back today to let you know that the dream has come true. And the Lord has blessed us. And I know Pastor Bruce is preaching good sermons all the time. You have received new guest speakers, and they're preaching good sermons. So this morning I decided I want to preach my report. You know, when a missionary gives a report, then it's so boring, isn't it? A report is always boring because he gives you numbers, he gives you details, and then he says, okay, now we are going to preach. I mean, he gave a report for half an hour, And now he's going to preach for another half an hour. No, I'm going to preach my report. So that means my report is going to be very exciting. And you'll never forget my report, because the truth of the matter is that we forget reports. But I hope my report will be so exciting that you're not going to forget what I have to say. Well, first of all, let me ask you this question. How many of you are understanding my English this morning? Raise your hand. Anyone here who is not understanding my English? Are the little kids understanding my English? Am I speaking your language? Good. You know, every time I come back from Brazil, my English is a little rusty. Then I have to keep practicing until it comes back to normal. So if you're understanding me this morning, that means this church here in Alaska has the gift of interpretation. Congratulations. You know what I think? It's so interesting. When we are in Alaska, we refer to those people on the other side as a foreign country. And I'm talking about the USA on the other side. When we are there on the other side, they refer to us here in Alaska as the other country on the other side. So today, I feel like I am in the real USA. Amen? I am in the real country. And I'm so grateful to be here. Very good. My wife is here with me this morning. She didn't come with me the first time. She could not come. And then I promised her that one day I would bring her to Alaska. And I have fulfilled my promise twice already. Because she was here 4 years ago. And now we are back. And I never told you this, but when I came here 4 years ago, I was sick. I had bronchitis and I didn't know it. Praise the Lord, it was not now or they would have told me I had COVID. But I had bronchitis and I had fever during that whole time I was here in Alaska. Finally, when I made it back to Minneapolis and I went to a clinic, the doctor gave me some antibiotics and I was cleared in a day or two. But I was sick here. So I told Rachel, okay, that did not count. We'll go back when I am healthy. And I hope I'm healthy now. And I have no problem whatsoever. But Rachel loves this part of the country. She loves nature. And I knew from the beginning, if she ever came to Alaska, she would be so happy by being here. And she's taking pictures. She's enjoying her time. She's so happy to be here. And I just want you to know that. Now, Pastor Bruce, you have been a good friend of ours. And I know the reason, because you have the same heart as we do. Pastor Bruce is an evangelist. He likes to win souls for the Lord Jesus Christ. He loves church planting ministry. So that makes us a partner together. And this is the secret of missions. Sometimes you're here in Alaska, in this city called Fairbanks, wondering, what have we been doing for God? What have we accomplished as a church for the Lord Jesus Christ? If you want to answer this question honestly, you need to go by that hall and you need to read each of your missionaries' prayer letters. And whatever they are doing on the mission field, you are doing together. That's why this morning I do not consider myself a visitor, but I am an extension of this church. And my ministry belongs to this church as much as your Sunday school classes. The only difference is that my Sunday school class is in Brazil, far away, but we are an extension of this church. And that's the reason Pastor, Sister Lina, they read our letters, they follow our ministry, because they understand that whatever we are doing in Brazil, we are doing together. And this is what missions is all about. So this morning when I show you a video presentation, you need to see yourselves in those pictures. And you need to understand that you are helping us to accomplish those ministries. Otherwise, you do not understand missions. Otherwise, you will never be happy in Jesus. But when you understand that we are doing the work of God together, you will see the importance of the existence of this church in the city of Fairbanks, in Alaska, because you are helping the gospel to reach many other parts of the world. So be grateful that you belong to a very missionary-minded church. Now, I love missions more than anybody here this morning, because I am the result of missions. The only reason I'm here today is because American Bible-believing churches sent my pastor, missionary Jimmy Rose, to the country of Brazil when I was not even born, but I was already a part of God's plan for his life. So Brother Jimmy went to Brazil in the 60s. He had been in Brazil for 7-8 years when his pastor back in Greenville, South Carolina, was preaching a sermon on missions. And his pastor, in 1970, mentioned this phrase: Jimmy Rose is in Brazil. He has been there for 8 years. He established a church. He has begun a circle. And a circle has no end. Once you begin a circle, that circle will endure forever. One day, Jimmy Rose is going to grow older and he's going to die on the mission field or back home, but the circle that he has begun in Brazil will stay behind and will continue even after Jimmy Rose is gone to heaven. My pastor died 2 months ago. I was the last person to speak at his funeral. And immediately after I spoke, they played this tape from Dr. Seidler, his pastor, in 1970. And everybody in that funeral got excited because they noticed I was the circle. I am the circle. Brother Jimmy is gone, but I'm here. And I am following after his steps. And I am reproducing his own ministry as a missionary, as a church planter. And one day, if Jesus doesn't come back before that, God is going to call me home as well. But I have begun other circles, and they will continue behind us, after us. And this is what missions is all about. And that's why missions is not only the mission of the church, but the most important ministry of the church. That same pastor, Dr. Seidler, he used to say that a church has no right to exist unless that church is missionary-minded. So I can say with all the assurance that the Bible gives me, this church has all the right to exist because this church loves the gospel, loves souls, and this church is missionary-minded. So congratulations, because you belong to a very good church. I was only 12 years of age when I got saved. Is there any young man here at the age of 12 this morning? Are you 12? And you're 12 as well? Would you do me a big favor? Can you come up here, please? Look at these two handsome young boys. Come up here, but be in front of the church. What's your name?
Benjamin.
Benjamin. So nice to meet you.
Caleb.
Caleb. So nice to meet you. You know Caleb and Benjamin? I was just like you guys. I mean, you're much more handsome. But I was skinny like you, probably the same height. And you know what I used to do when I was your age? I was a professional bartender. Can you believe that? You can't. And I used to work behind the counter in a bar. My father was the owner of the bar. And I served liquor to the customers, and I knew how to mix all kinds of drinks. And I was your age, guys. And when my father was not watching me, I was drinking a little bit here, a little bit there. And I was dreaming about the day that I could become just like one of my father's customers. Isn't that awful? And that was my situation at the age of 12, back there in the country of Brazil. But one day, someone gave my father a gospel tract, a simple gospel tract inside an elevator. My father, just out of curiosity, saw the address of the church, and he decided to visit the church. So he went to the church on a Sunday evening, and he understood nothing of the sermon. Because the pastor, you know, he had an accent, like I do in English, he had in Portuguese. And for some reason, my father did not understand him at first. But he left his address behind. And in less than a week, that missionary went to visit my father. And what a surprise, Caleb and Benjamin. The address was not the address of a house. It was the address of a barn. But you know what the American missionary did? He did not turn his back. He entered the bar with his Bible underneath his arm. And I remember that day because I was there. So my father told me to continue to serve the customers, and he went to talk to the missionary. And the missionary told my father like this, "Mr. Ribeiro, if you want to serve God and save your little boy from a languishing future," because I was a little boy, like you are, handsome little boys. And he said, "If you want to save your little boy from a languishing future, sell this bar and come to church with us." In less than a month, the bar had been sold. My father went to church, and I, as a little boy, followed after his steps. And in that church, I received the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. And today, rather than having a son who is a drunkard, my father has a son who is a preacher of the Word of God. Thank you so much for your help. Now the church can picture what happened many, many years ago. You may be seated. So, I am the result of missions. And the only reason I'm here today is because of that missionary. Let's go further than that. Because of his church that sent him to Brazil. Let's go further than that. Because of his pastor who believed in missions. And we can go as far as the Great Commission of Jesus. "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." As soon as I got saved, I understood the importance of missions. My pastor was preaching on missions one day during a family camp, and I heard the name of various missionary heroes of the past. I had never heard their names before, but then I heard the name of Hudson Taylor, the missionary who went to China, and he became just like one of those Chinese people. In less than 6 months, he was speaking their language without an accent. To me, that's a gift. And he dressed up like a Chinese. And to this day, we are reaping results from the ministry of that missionary. Isn't that amazing? He left his luxury, his family, his friends. He was a medical doctor. He left everything behind and became a missionary to the Chinese people. Then I heard the name of David Livingstone, and that really impressed me, because my pastor told us during the sermon that his heart was buried in Africa and his body was sent back to London because the natives said his heart belongs to us. William Carey, he was an American pastor who tried to convince young people to leave home and go abroad and become missionaries. But the young people were not interested in missions back then. So he decided to go himself. And as he left his country, he told his pastor friends, "I'm going down, but you must stay here and hold the rope." And how about John Knox? He prayed, "God, give me Scotland or I shall die." And he meant that prayer. And because he meant that prayer, God not only gave him Scotland, but many other countries around the world. So, when my pastor was done, I was one of the first to attend the invitation and come to the altar. But I went to the altar to thank God for missions, because I understood that I was there because of missions. And as I was thanking God for missions, for the American Bible-believing churches that sent my pastor to Brazil, guess what happened? As I was there on my knees, God also called me to be a missionary from Brazil to Brazil. The only reason I'm a missionary in Brazil is because God called me to Brazil. I could have been in any other place in the world, but he called me to Brazil, and I got so excited. I stood up and I told everybody around me that God had called me to be a church planter, just like my pastor. I was going to establish Bible-believing churches in needy areas of Brazil. But some adults, they told me, you cannot be a church planter because establishing churches is a ministry only for the Americans, because only the Americans have the tools. But I was smarter than that, and I answered them, if God is the one calling me, he's going to provide me with the tools. And he has provided me with the tools. First of all, he allowed me to be saved under the ministry of an American Baptist missionary, my pastor. He discipled me. He led me to Christ. He discipled me. He trained me. He was my hero. And I grew up under his preaching, under his ministry. When he found out I was called to be a preacher, he told me, you're going to preach next week. But I was just a new convert. By then I was 13. But I didn't know what preaching was. And he said, you're going to preach on the street. We're going to have an open-air meeting next Sunday afternoon. And you can preach. I said, but I don't know how to preach. And he said, just preach your testimony. Tell people how you got saved. Write it down. Study during the week. So I wrote my testimony down. My older sister, she corrected my grammar. And everything was perfect on the paper. And I thought I had at least third minutes to preach my testimony. The day arrived. We went to the zoo that Sunday afternoon. We started the service at the zoo. People gathered around us at the zoo. And all of a sudden, I was called to preach. I was so nervous, that my third-minute sermon, I was able to give it in 3 minutes. In 3 minutes, I said every word I was supposed to say. And if I'm not mistaken, one person got saved. And I haven't stopped preaching since then. Then when I was 18, I entered the Bible Institute established by my pastor and other American missionaries. 3 years later, I graduated. Then I thought I was ready for the ministry. But Dr. Bob Jones III went to Brazil when I was 17, and he saw me leading the music, preaching on the street, leading the youth. And he went to my pastor and he said, Brother Jimmy, tell that young man, if he learns English, he can come to Bob Jones. We'll give him a work scholarship. Learn English. How could I learn English? I worked 45 hours a week. I would go to school in the evening. And on the weekends, I was there to serve my church. I had no time to learn English. And in spite of that, BJ allowed me to come. Can you imagine going through classes at Bob Jones without understanding your teachers? That was my case. That was my situation. My first semester at Bob Jones. I could read some in English. I could write some words in English. But I could not speak. I could not understand. So I borrowed the notes from my friends, and I had to study twice as much. But in spite of my marginal English, I did very well that first semester. And I was in chapel one day. At the end of that semester, Dr. Bob Jones Jr. was preaching. And all of a sudden, I noticed I was understanding every word. Tears came down my face because I noticed God had removed the barrier. And now I could speak in English. And I tell people, I not only speak in English, now I speak Southern English. Y'all be careful now, you hear? Pastor, let me do a pause here and say something very funny. My wife, she can tell this story better than I. But I was called to give a testimony at commencement. And before you give a testimony, you have to write it down, send it to the provost, and he has to pre-approve your testimony. So my testimony was approved, and he said, make sure you abide by what is on the paper. Yes, sir. Well, that was my very last time at Bob Jones. I was not planning to come back. So when I stood up before 10,000 or more people, I decided to give my testimony. So I told everybody, when I first arrived in the States, I could not speak any English. But now, as they could see by the grace of God, I was graduating. So far, so good. But then I said, when people ask me where I am from because of my accent, I tell them I am from Georgia. And then after everybody was done laughing, I said, and some people believe me. My father-in-law, who is from Georgia, Gainesville, Georgia, did not like it. He was there. He did not like my joke. But to this day, when I go back to Bob Jones, some people from back then remembers my joke. So it was good for something. Now, going back to my testimony. So, better than all of that, God gave me a wonderful wife. I like to tell people, and I have said this to you before, Rachel is not 50% of my ministry. She is 100%. I could not have the ministry that I have today without my wife. And I mean it. There is a saying, behind every successful man, there's a great woman. Sister Lena, can you say amen to that? Amen. I am not successful, Pastor, but I do have a great woman. My wife, she was born in Brazil, raised in Brazil by her parents, missionaries. That means she can speak Portuguese just like I do. She can speak English just like you do. That's not fair. She speaks both languages the same. She can correct me in both languages. That's awful. She helps me with my papers in English, and she helps me with my papers in Portuguese. She masters both languages very well. So we went back to Brazil as missionaries, under-supported. But this church was one of the few churches that sent us back to Brazil in 1993. We began a church. Since we didn't have money, we began our church in a precarious shed in our backyard. The shed, Pastor, was a little, I would say, was the same size as this platform from that wall to that wall. But it was precarious. By that, I mean it was ugly. And yet, I put on the door of the shed, Maranatha Baptist Temple. But you don't call a shed a temple, especially in Brazil, where they are used to cathedrals because of the Catholic churches. So, two neighbors passed by the shed one day, and one man said to the other, I promise you that in less than 3 months, this church will die out. This church will no longer exist in 3 months. He made that prophecy because he didn't know that inside the shed there was the powerful word of God being announced, being shared, being given to people. To make a long story short, the man who said that came to the shed one day, stayed with us, and he became the first ordained pastor of that shed. Inside the shed, that first year, we had 70 people. Don't ask me how that happened. I don't know. But they all fit inside the shed. Dona Madalena, a lady who was coming to the shed with her three little children, said to me, "Pastor Rom, my husband, João Carlos, does not like you." "Dona Madalena, how come? We haven't met yet." She said, "Yes, but because you're a pastor, he told me that you're here to make money out of the people. He doesn't trust you. So I made a point of getting to know him personally. He was a tall, strong man. I waited for him at the door. He was passing by. I introduced myself and I invited him to come to the shed. And his answer was a very dry no. So I waited for him the following day and I invited him again to come to the shed. And again he said no. I waited for him the third day in a row and I invited him to come to the shed again. And this time he said, okay, I'll go to that shed, but only once. And you have to promise me you never invite me again. I said, that's a deal. So he came on a Sunday evening with his wife and children on the second row. And I prepared a very evangelistic sermon. And I said everything I knew about hell, about forgiveness of sins, about Jesus' sacrifice, about the resurrection, about death. When I gave the invitation, and remember, back in those days, just Rachel and I and Rochelle. So I would give the baby just to anybody that came to the shed so Rachel could play the piano, and I did everything else. When we gave the invitation, I noticed that man, João Carlos, he was under conviction. He was red, and he was holding onto the chair like this. So we sang the first stanza, he didn't come. Second stanza, he didn't come. Third stanza, he didn't come. Fourth stanza, he didn't come. Now, I never insist, because I believe that's the work of the Holy Spirit. But that day, I made an exception. And I said, Rachel, let's sing that hymn again. So we repeated the song. First stanza, he didn't come. Second stanza, he didn't come. Third stanza, he noticed I was not going to stop until he came. Finally, he stood up and came. I stopped everything. I dismissed the people, and I took him to my house. And 15 minutes later, on his knees, João Carlos, crying, sobbing, like a child, received the Lord Jesus Christ. The man who did not trust us, in less than a month, became the first treasurer of the shed. A few years later, he became the first deacon of the shed. The church that was born in the shed was born to be like your church, missionary minded. As soon as we gathered in the shed, I taught them about faith promise for missions. I taught them to give towards missions. My pastor told me, nobody's too poor to give to missions. Even in Brazil, the minimum wage in Brazil is about $300 a month. Most of our people will make only $300 a month. And the cost of living in Brazil is as high as it is here in the States. So that gives you an idea how difficult it is. But I taught them to do for others what others were doing for them. Then some older pastors learned about what I was doing, and they rebuked me. They said, you cannot teach missions to the people in the shed yet. You have to wait until you have your property, until you're inside your own building. Then you can introduce missions to them. I said, I cannot do that. I have learned that we must seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all the other things shall be added unto you. I said, building can wait a little longer, but souls cannot wait one more second. So we taught taught them missions, to do for others what others had done for them. And 7 years later, that church was able to enter their own building. And today, and I'm going to be very careful about this, today, 29 years later, that church, if it is not the strongest, it is considered the strongest independent Baptist church of the country of Brazil. So when people ask me the secret of all these blessings, I tell them, missions, missions. The Great Commission of Jesus is the secret of all the blessings of God over a church, over a family, over an individual. The Great Commission of Jesus. So, this church has become the mother church of all the other churches and ministries we have established in Brazil. When I came here the first time, I never imagined what God was preparing for us. I was just willing. And that's all God is asking us, to be willing. Your daddy didn't know what God was going to accomplish through us and for us in Brazil, but he believed God had called us, and he desired to be a part of that. I have this flyer that I brought for you this morning. We need your prayers. COVID has been very hard in Brazil. It has been hard here in the States too. But at least here in the States, we have a very good hospital system. We get sick, we can go to the hospital. And we hope they will do their very best for us. But in Brazil, not everybody has access to the hospital like we do here. So I saw a lot of suffering last year. But I could not hide myself. At midnight, a couple called me. And the husband said, "Please take us to the hospital. My wife just fainted. She's burning in fever." I tried the ambulance, but I could not get one to go there and pick them up. I even tried the cab. But then I told my wife, "What I'm doing is not right. Why should others risk their lives and not me, since I was the one called for this purpose?" So I'm not going to deny the fact that I was a little scared, and I wore two masks rather than one, and I opened all the windows of my car, and I tried not to breathe. And we put that lady in the back of the car. She was burning. She was burning. And the truth of the matter is that she was fainted, and I was able to take them to the hospital. And don't ask me how that happened, but by the grace of God, nobody in my family ever got contaminated. And we have been exposed a few times, but it's only by the grace of God. There's no other explanation. So we saw a lot of suffering last year, and I believe we are going to see much more suffering ahead. Brazil is right now under political turmoil, economic recession. It's amazing what's happening in Brazil. So here's what I want to ask you to do for us. Pray for the R family, Rom, Rachel, Rochelle, Roxanne. Even our dog's names starts with R, Raindrop. Just remember, pray for the R family. And pray for the four P's: God's power, presence, protection, and provision. Easy to remember. I'm leaving some flyers at the table, on the table, and you can have a copy before you go home this morning. Now, I want to show you a 6-minute video presentation. And this will conclude this report. And the main conclusion is this: Caleb and Benjamin, Benjamin and Caleb. If God can use someone like me, I am so sure he can use someone like you. If God called me, He can also call you. If God had a plan for my life, God has a plan for your life. Just don't give up on the Lord. He has a plan for all of us here this morning. Thank you for being a part of our ministry, for allowing us to be a part of your ministry. And thank you for your pastor, and thank you for his wife. I can see through their attitudes, through their conversation, and through their eyes that they love you and they love the Lord. I wish I could spend more time with this couple, but I am in a tropical country and they are in Alaska. What a difference. God bless you.